We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, there's a lot going on in the world as far away as Afghanistan and close to home here with the big problems. A lot of people calling for the resignation of Jennifer Carnahan, the head of the GOP in Minnesota. And this woman just is adamant and she's refusing. And if I knew nothing else about her but a phone call that she allegedly was drunk, but she said that, you know, above her husband, that he'll be dead in 2 years, so be it, essentially, because he has stage 4 cancer. And it's just Jim Hagedorn is her husband.
Yep.
And he's been a politician for many years, right?
Yes.
But with all these people now, these state representatives calling for her to resign and she doesn't, can these people, and it's the number seems by the hour to grow, can't they start their own arm of the GOP and just wall her off so she has zero power? And it's not just her. There's other people on that board that got her reelected. First of all, they all need to be brought out of the shadows so people know who they are keeping her in power and just put an end to all of them professionally.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the consequences for this. To answer your question, Bob, no, the Republican Party of Minnesota is recognized as a major party. So, you know, you can certainly try to start. There's been talk about reforming, you know, the Republicans used to be called the Independent Republicans of Minnesota. There's been some chatter about that, but it would be a new party and it would have to go through. It would create some issues and it would make it difficult to, you know, get ballot access and get some other things. So it's not as easy as that. However, I understand there are a number of individuals going through the party constitution, the party bylaws, trying to figure out how delegates or how others could act to remove Carnahan if the executive committee does not know. I've been following, there's a Rebecca Brannon. She's a former activist. She's been breaking a lot of the news on this story and she's been tweeting out a lot of stuff. She's the one that tweeted the audio of Carnahan saying, well, Jim will be dead within 2 years, so who cares? So there was an executive committee meeting last night. There was one Friday night. There's certain business they couldn't take because of the short amount of notice. There was another one last night. And what they voted on last night was to get rid of these non-disclosure agreements, waive any enforcement rights of these non-disclosure agreements that they've been having people that are departing sign to basically buy their silence. They also voted to conduct a financial audit, which is long overdue. People have been asking that for a couple of years now. But then the meeting was adjourned. So this was like 11:30 last night. So there's going to be another meeting on Thursday. And I think you're going to see growing pressure on this executive committee. These are 2/3 vote of the executive committee. And then the state central committee has to, approve it as well. But I think you're going to have a growing number of folks, particularly elected officials, coming out and putting direct pressure on the executive committee to vote her out. Because she, like you said, she isn't going to resign. She claims that this is guilt by association, and she doesn't understand this has gone way beyond this donor that
Anton Lazaro, the guy.
He's
been charged with sex trafficking.
She was very close to him. Okay. And you have that. You have allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault by party staff, and her turning a blind eye to it. You know, you've got a culture here that's been created that's been very hostile to women. And I've seen a lot of people that are coming out and saying, I don't get involved anymore because of this happened and she did nothing. And now you're starting to see the pieces fall into place. Why the Republican Party loses statewide election after statewide election? You know, they don't. The first of all, the party leadership is focused on lining their own pockets rather than getting electable candidates out there. You know, when you create a hostile environment for any that would want to volunteer for your candidates, you're not going to get a lot of volunteers for your candidates.
Well,
I've seen some people this last week and saying, what about John Thompson? What about the Senate DFL sector harassment scandal. And you know what I say to that? You get those problems when you have one of the major parties not functioning. The DFL thinks they can cut people like John Thompson because the Republican Party of Minnesota is so useless.
This, and also, I go back to this. This woman lost any respect. I didn't know her, but she became to light for me in a big way. I've never met her, when she endorsed Mike Lindell to be run for governor a year and a half or more ago, and she hasn't backed away from that since, that I'm aware of. But that just shows she has real problems with recognizing character, and this Lazaro thing should be enough. But like you said, it's mushroomed into so much more with these NDAs and non-disclosure agreements, and it's just, she just comes off as a bully. And when you throw in what she said about her husband, who's, you know, in stage 4 cancer, will be dead in 2 years, she's heartless too. I mean, she has no business running this party.
You can't have a state party chair that has now become an issue in elections for offices, right? And I read somewhere, I was saying it was the best way I've heard it stated. The DFL had handed the Republicans on a silver platter John Thompson and the Senate DFL harassment scandal when they failed to investigate a harassment complaint.
Yep.
And in one weekend, Jennifer Carnahan nuked any usefulness of that and any momentum that they had from that.
Well, people that have been involved in the past and were good people need to get re-involved and do something about this, or put someone in who actually is strong. And I keep going back. I mean, I've said she should run for governor, but Amy Koch would be a good person to put at the head of that party because she's sensible. And, you know, I know that she left with a scandal of her own, but that was nothing compared to what's going on here. You know, she never should have left as the head of the Senate.
No, it's going to take somebody to step in on an interim basis to help lead this party if they do end up removing her.
If they don't, then they're not going to get votes. I mean, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I guess I'm an independent. I usually lean to the right. But I voted, as I've mentioned many times, for Wellstone a couple of times. Would have voted a third time had he not tragically died. I don't see how you can be supportive of this party. Now, I can be supportive, certainly, of different representatives of the party or people that are running for office, but the party itself, it's become, I mentioned the other day on a Twitter, it's a clown show, and the people at the top come off that way, too. Not just us.
Yeah, here's what, you know, and I was, Bob, and I was involved with the party, you know, 20 years ago, or actually more than 20 years ago, and it makes me seem old. I was the chair of the St. Thomas College Republicans. I was the state chair of the College Republicans, and I was involved. And this is back to when a guy by the name of Chris Georgakis was state chair, and then followed by Bill Cooper. And the problem is this: is at some point it stopped being about electing candidates, and I think it works in part and parcel. I think that the party activists tend to put up for, you know, conferring their endorsement, especially in the statewide races, on candidates that don't deserve it. I mean, there's been some real garbage that's been put up as the Republican standard bearer. We don't look about electability anymore. We look at litmus tests. And if you don't, you know, meet the 10 criteria on the checklist, even if you may have 8, that's enough to deny you the endorsement. And the Republicans always, the Democrats always have primaries and multiple candidates running in primaries. The Republicans just live and die by this endorsement, and as a result you get bad candidates. And I think that part of it is what's happened here is there's anybody that was about electing Republicans office left the party organization, and they've been and taking their place has been a bunch of grifters that aren't about getting people elected. It's about lining their own pockets. And that's why you see that, why they haven't won statewide in 2 election cycles.
This is why this audit has to be done. It has to be done by an outside group, not by them, you know, internally, because that doesn't make any sense. So, all right, you know what, Jeff?
Yeah, it needs to be done by an outside law firm.
Yep. And Chestnut Cambrone is a law firm. You guys can do that sort of thing?
I'm sure we could.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. I want to come back and talk to you about Afghanistan. We're going to do it all in one segment, but it's there's too much to talk about with this clown show going on in the Republican Party. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with Jeff O'Brien. We are back with Attorney Jeff O'Brien. And Jeff, we just talked about the Republican Party and the mess that is with Jennifer Carnahan at the top, and she should lose that position, running the GOP in Minnesota. But what about the mess that President Biden has with Afghanistan? And also, he disappeared. I mean, this guy, yep. This president of ours, he disappears on some days like at 11 o'clock or noon, and you don't hear from him again. But this one, this withdrawal, I mean, there are so many veterans who are coming out and saying, I lost both my legs for what? For a war that never should have happened. And now the Taliban, in a matter of days, or it seemed like minutes, they took over the every city. They just swept across this country, and now they're in the presidential palace. And they talked about, well, we're not going to do any, you know, we're going to have it peaceful and we're not going to have reprisals. Well, there were reports coming out today of beheadings in the street. So much for that one. And meantime, people try to get out of that country, and it's their president fled, the guy that the U.S. installed or got installed. And it's just become an absolute mess. And Joe Biden, our president, had nothing to say about it yesterday, which to me is shameful.
Well, it's becoming clear that, you know, again, he's got cognitive issues. That's why they've got him calling a lid at 11 o'clock in the morning or sleeping in. 78 years old. They shouldn't have put him up there. They did it because of this little game they're playing where they've got, I don't know who is the puppet master behind him, but it isn't him making the decisions. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, this is we knew this going in. I mean, a lot of us, you know, you had Robert Gates, Obama's former defense secretary, say Joe Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy issue in the last, 20 years. And you had Obama himself say never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. So we knew that he was a hot mess, right?
Yep.
And so anybody that thought it was a good idea to put him in there because of mean tweets or something, you know, enjoy what they did in Afghanistan. It's partly on you, right? It's just in fairness, looking back, they should have. This was a mistake being there. The Bush-Cheney regime, when the idea that you had to go in there to nation build. I mean, the reason I think a lot of people were okay going there is to go. You know, you were going to get revenge on get the people that did 9/11, right? You're gonna go kill Osama. You're gonna go kill the Taliban. Well, obviously they didn't.
No,
they left him around.
No, and you know,
I saw one guy who was at the palace yesterday. That one of the Taliban people that were in the presidential palace after the president of Afghanistan fled, and he said in English, "I was released from Guantanamo." So there's Obama's plan to release all the Gitmo terrorists. We got one of them went back there and helped overthrow the government.
8 years he was in Guantanamo, he said. And, you know, the other thing is, the Taliban leadership, one of them is on Twitter. And you can't, I mean, writing in whatever language that is, I don't know what it is. But, and people are pointing out to this at Jack, the guy who runs Twitter, you got rid of people like Trump, yet you leave the Taliban leadership on Twitter. That's shameful. How do you get away with that? And how do they not have any repercussions for something like that? Why? Because, again, nationally, the Republicans are weak and they don't show strength, just like here.
Right.
It's just it's terrible what's happening in Afghanistan. And no one, because the media won't, no one will hold, I was going to say Obama, nobody will hold Biden accountable for this. And we were talking off the air, and Kamala Harris was taking credit for being part of this plan. Well, that's nothing to hang your hat on.
No, not at all. Not at all. But the problem is that, you know, despite, you know, everybody trying to whitewash this stuff for Biden, you know, the optics are just so bad. You know, going back in July, he's saying, oh, the Taliban's not going to overrun the Afghan government. And then you have Secretary of State Blinken saying, this isn't going to be another Vietnam. Well, I don't know. You got helicopters pulling diplomats off the roof of the embassy. That sounds like how we ended Vietnam to me.
Well, it sounded like they also, the U.S. government left dozens upon dozens of Humvees that are now in Taliban hands. I mean, it's just been horrible what they've
Humvees, AR-15s. Yeah, they left them a whole bunch of
weaponry.
Exactly.
And then there were women scrambling because women were getting rights. Well, they were scrambling to find burkas to put back on because they were afraid that they would be face reprisals because they're not dressing the way the Taliban wants them to. It's just a terrible thing. And you know what? Where is the U.S. government and Biden? You open wide open that southern border, bringing in COVID. Yet there are people in Afghanistan who helped the U.S. government, who they claim they were going to help. Well, how about get these people out? Because these people did help you and support you. Nothing was done for them, or not enough of them anyway. So it's just terrible. And you know, I really wish that the media would stop being cheerleaders for Biden and tell the truth about what's happening, because they certainly had no problem telling the truth, their version of the truth about Trump. And Trump, he did some really bad things. At the end, it was inexcusable what he wound up doing to Pence, throwing him under the bus the way he did. So we saw, you know, the character of this guy. But what's happening with Biden, no flaws are shown. There was a video the other day, and you probably saw it, where he was walking up to one of the patio at the White House, and one of the Secret Service men was pointing where to go, and then the guy walked another way to make sure that there was no one in the bushes. He just followed him because he's in a world of his own. And for people who voted for him to be in denial about that, I don't get it. I mean, they absolutely saw flaws in Trump, but they won't see any flaws in Biden. And I just don't understand. And you said the thing too about who is the puppet master. Well, a lot of the people in his, you know, in his regime or are former Obama people. Now, some of them have said, like you mentioned, one of them talking about the, you know, the mess that he created. But others are in power with him, including, I think, his chief of staff. Right? He's a former Obama guy. So somebody, wouldn't you think the chief of staff is the one pulling the strings? It's not Kamala Harris. Because I think they've walled off her.
The chief of staff, Ron Klain, is part of it. I've heard Susan Rice. I've heard Valerie Jarrett. I've heard Obama himself. Are all it's some sort of a, you know, cabal that sort of controls the handles with him.
What a mess. Anyway, all right, Jeff, I got to go on to happier things like the Vikings game. All right, we'll, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. We'll take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.